Beating a Path to the People's Reset. Two competing visions for humanity's future, and some thoughts on where we can start. Read by the author, John Michael Dumay. Humanity is at a crossroads. Two very distinct pathways are being laid before us, presenting us with diametrically opposed visions for our future. Foster Gamble, in his video presentation during the Greater Reset online event last year, shared a side-by-side snapshot of these two visions, one being offered by the globalist economic elites and the other being offered by we the people. The World Economic Forum's Great Reset is offering a vision of global control through vaccinating the entire population of the world, installing artificial food systems, deploying AI and 5G wireless technology to monitor every individual under the rubric of biosecurity, imposing a cashless economy and carbon taxes, commodifying and monitoring every natural resource, centralizing the population in smart cities, and joining human biology with technology in a radical transhumanist vision, all implemented through an increasingly centralized one world order. On the other side, you have the people working towards greater personal and health freedom with organic food and regenerative agriculture, small-d democratic and community-centric solutions, reconnecting to nature, creating meaningful work, and releasing the power of free energy and blockchain technologies. One vision is for centralization and control over our humanity, and the other for decentralization of power and control and the liberation of the human body, mind, and spirit into a new realm of possibility for peace, creativity, and fulfillment. I've been calling the latter the People's Reset. While both visions promote the goal of creating a more sustainable and harmonious world, the way they propose getting there could not be more different. The Great Reset and the UN Agenda 21 and 2030 goals upon which it is based have many admirable objectives, the essence of which I and many others could easily get behind, such as ending hunger and poverty and creating a more sustainable economy. But their humanistic rhetoric and intentions are belied by the nature of their actions over the past 2 years. Draconian lockdowns of great swaths of the human population, forced business closures and mass job and wealth destruction, the unprecedented suppression of freedom of speech and association, the imposition of unscientific and destructive health mandates such as forced testing, mask wearing, and social distancing, and the rollout of mass human biological experimentation in the form of forced vaccinations using an untested and since proven to have negative effects gene therapy device. This latter strategy is increasingly appearing to live up to the eugenics conspiracy theories by rapidly becoming a mass casualty event. The coup de grace on this technological vision is the Domestic Terrorism Prevention Act of 2021, which threatens to criminalize half the population for not going along with their totalitarian control agenda. If past is prologue, the Great Reset promises the great and ugly curtailment of human dignity and freedom, enforced at the butt of a gun and the point of a needle. This is just what one would expect for a vision developed and deployed by a small group of unelected elites whose lives bear little resemblance to that of the, quote, great unwashed masses, unquote, or, quote, basket of deplorables, unquote. It is little wonder that they are failing to gain much public traction for their plans. Yet, like a zombie, their agenda seems to be mindlessly lurching forward under the cover of a series of orchestrated pandemics, which have caught a great percentage of the population under the hypnotic spell of fear and the programmed responses of social compliance, even to the point of self-destruction. Though other nations and cultures have suffered similar fates in times not very long past, many Americans appear to be immune to the lessons of history. The People's Reset also has many admirable goals, but it would be folly to suggest that these are shared equally by all members of the diverse tribe currently feeling its way down a path towards freedom. First off, freedom is an abstract notion that can vary widely from person to person, and even within the same person from one day to the next. Some people focus more on freedom in the negative sense, as in freedom from, and here you can insert any list of restrictive conditions, while others focus on more of the positive sense, as in freedom too, and here you can insert any list of desires. We'll need to learn from each other and open up and share what each of us perceives as the variations of freedom in the future world. But aside from these differences, there seems to be a basic understanding of liberty that all freedom-loving people grok deep in their guts. Freedom of health, speech, thought, association, and more. And what we've been seeing clearly is not it. And then there's this new tribe, which is quite a motley collection of folks. Like survivors of a shipwreck washing up on a beach far from civilization, we are refugees from the corrupt two-party duopoly. Current and former Trump supporters, otherwise disaffected Republicans, classical libertarians and homegrown free staters, independents and walk-away Democrats, liberal-minded progressives repulsed by where both the corporatist left and extreme cultural left seem to be going, and an indeterminate number of variously and non-aligned others, together with a vast number of citizens who have found themselves at odds with the manufactured and totalitarian aspects of the COVID pandemic. I think it's fair to say that the freedom-loving moniker is a huge tent under which a large and politically and philosophically diverse group of people are discovering common cause, perhaps for the first time. The question is, are we going to recognize our common unity and destiny and forge a new compact for human relations and society? Or at least resuscitate, reaffirm, and revitalize the core tenets of America's founding documents? Or are we going to hunker down in our ideological silos in hopes that our side or our group, against all others, somehow wins or gets it right enough to turn the tide? Or will we simply keep our heads down and remain passive, waiting for the storm to pass and for sanity to somehow return? Let's go back to the People's Reset and consider some of the visions and goals suggested in the recent Greater Reset online event. Is everyone who is walking the freedom path on board with the concept of a voluntarist or stateless society? Is everyone down with the notion of a debt jubilee or using crypto or local currencies for value exchange? Is it reasonable to expect huge segments of the population to go back to the land, to farm, or create permaculture projects, or to homestead in the forests? How can relocalization happen if we are still largely dependent on sophisticated electronics for much of our way of life, and on fossil fuels to power them, on mineral and raw materials extraction to make them, and on the complex manufacturing and distribution processes built on the globalization of capital and labor? Human civilization today is such a complex and interconnected system of systems that if we start pulling the thread on one end, how can we be sure it won't catastrophically unravel the whole tapestry? I suggest that it would be counterproductive to expect or seek to be in agreement about every detail of our possible future at this moment in time. Instead, I believe that, more than honing down on any specifics, our primary task is to share with each other the visions, desires, and qualities that express a wide range of potential positive futures. By so doing, we will open to deeper levels of inspiration while we get to learn new and essential things about ourselves and each other that will serve us well when the time comes to roll up our sleeves. And while I love talking about solutions, I am sensing deeply that one of the first orders of business should be to establish or reestablish the core frameworks upon which such a future society can be built. Perhaps we need to hold a continental congress for the modern age, gathering to declare our independence from totalitarian corporate rulers, working to reaffirm our natural God-given rights of free speech and assembly, and privacy, freedom of the press, and freedom from medical tyranny, and other such core non-negotiables that are the staples of the American dream, as well as an urgent vision for billions around the globe. Perhaps reaffirming our common humanity and inalienable sovereignty by committing to non-aggression and non-violence in thought, word, and deed, except in the face of the most immediate and egregious threats to life. Perhaps reasserting our commitment to vigorously defend the water, the soil, the air, and all of nature, to protect life and everything that serves life, with a willingness to consider the effects of our actions down to the seventh generation. Perhaps refamiliarizing ourselves with a mindset and tools for decision-making and community building in a truly equal and democratic society, one beyond polarization and dehumanization, beyond winners and losers. Perhaps finding sufficient alignment and power in our collective voices to say no once and for all to our government's system of legalized bribery and to the poisoning of nature in our bodies by corporations in the soulless pursuit of profit. Here's a thought experiment. Imagine that you and like-minded others have just landed on this planet and are blessed to be able to create society anew as a conscious, responsible, wise, and sovereign people. What would be our first order of business? What would you need and want for the expression of your own highest potential in body, mind, and spirit? For that of your family and community members? What might daily life look like in this new society? How do you imagine the harmonious life of your community and world in the highest manifestation of both freedom and responsibility, of beauty and truth? How can we most equitably share the resources of this beautiful planet so that all may not just live, but thrive, in a way that honors and respects nature? How might differences in visions and needs and perceptions be most amicably engaged and fairly resolved? Freed from the tyranny of the corporation and from state bureaucracy and oversight, what qualities and purposes might we imagine will be guiding the formation of our individual and collective futures? What might health look like in such imagining? How might you maximize the purity and vitality of food and water? What might work, creativity, and meaningful engagement in productive and life-affirming projects look like? Where and how would money fit in, and where would it not belong? What would the responsible, life-affirming, and sovereignty-supporting use of advanced technologies, including artificial intelligence, look like? Which aspects of your current life would you most want to preserve, and which might you be willing to revision and perhaps relinquish on your journey to a more fulfilling reality? The key to exploring these questions is to let your imagination and heart soar on wings of sacred vision. Whatever you conceive of sacred to be, whether you're an atheist, agnostic, or spiritual, this may encompass a sense of the deepest love, connectedness, and compassion, the highest and most eternal truths, the broadest concepts of the universal good, etc. If we can see it and feel it, we can become it. If what we see and feel is informed by our deepest sense of meaning, truth, love, beauty, and goodness, in the context of an unfolding living inquiry among free and humble souls, then it is most likely to be a worthy undertaking. Let's not get stuck on the specifics of how we get there just yet. Like the signers of the Declaration of Independence, we must align our wills and our fortunes first, without requiring that all of the details of how be known in advance. For those of good and iron will, the steps will become obvious in due course. The Declaration of Independence with language added or updated. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all humans are created equal, that they are endowed by their creator, source field, life, nature, existence, with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among humans, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed, that whenever any form of government becomes destructive to these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or to abolish it, and to institute new government, laying its foundation on such principles and organizing its powers in such form as to them shall seem most likely to affect their safety and happiness. Two paths lie before us. In one, the answers are all prefabricated. Your job is chosen by the state. We all become passive consumers who are kept safe from the invisible bogeymen of germs and terrorists, with our health and mood mediated by increasingly invasive pharmaceuticals and biochips, while we all live in smart cities with our brains connected 24/7 to the AI internet. The other path is potentially one of great freedom and harmony with nature and with each other, where we control our own bodies, our creative work, and our destinies. Here we can unleash a fuller flowering of our human potential of creativity, healing, connection, meaning, and sovereign self-evolution. The choice seems clear enough to me. But in order to manifest the freedom vision, we can't just remain passive. We will have to creatively engage each other as emergent citizens, as conscious co-creators of the new world. How could it be otherwise? How could we assume the mantle of Homo sapiens sapiens, truly wise humans, without activating and practicing the full range of our adult creative capacities? We can only discover the path by walking the path. We can only assume our sovereignty by becoming sovereigns. Are we truly willing, then, to rise up from our creative slumber, leave our ideological castles, and see past our hyper-individualist tendencies so that we can meet each other in the field of infinite possibility? Can we let ourselves be guided by a deep spirit of curiosity and non-judgment, and by a can-do attitude resilient enough to weather false starts, misperceptions, and apparent failures? Are we prepared to surrender to love, sweat, and tears at a depth never before witnessed in the history of humankind, and to commit to trusting ourselves and working together, whatever it takes, to forge a new world for ourselves, our fellow human beings, and all of life? If not us, who? If not now, when?